Are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles. Open your Bible with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is the fourth installment of the Love Mercy series. We have a couple more messages after this. And boy, we've explored mercy from all different angles, haven't we, so far? And there's more to see from God's Word. And so this morning I want to begin by talking to you about compassion fatigue. Who has ever heard of compassion fatigue? It's a relatively new term that is used of people whose professions are caregivers, whether medical, whether hospice, whether, I mean, you can go down the road. There's only so much giving you can do before fatigue begins to set in. And so compassion fatigue has been a term coined to describe when people give and give and give and give, and then they are just plumb out, they are worn out, they're tired. It's a real thing. Now, we've been talking about mercy, and so this morning we want to put everything that we have talked about regarding mercy into a proper context and perspective. Okay? You know, if we take what we've looked at thus far, and if we take it to the nth degree, how many of y'all know you're going to be a mess? Because not everybody that we show mercy to, listen carefully, can be trusted. That's newsflash for you, brother. And not everybody that we show mercy to has the proper motives. How many of us know there are people that would love for you to sell out to mercy so that they can manipulate you and use you and milk you or bilk you out of hundreds or even thousands of dollars, right? So we have to understand that with mercy come certain limits. All right? Matthew chapter 5, have you found the scripture of the chapter yet? We're going to jump into verse 38, very well-known portion of scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking here, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You have heard it, that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Let's stop there. When they slap you on the right cheek, that's with an open palm. But if you turn the other cheek, that's going to be a backhand. How many of y'all know that's even worse? Let's read on. Verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Okay, what's the deal with that? The cloak was something that you did not want taken from you because it could double up as your bedding at night. And in fact, in Exodus chapter 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 24, the law of Moses gave provision that if someone stole your cloak, you had every right under the Mosaic law to gain it back legally. Does that shed new light into what Jesus is saying? Just give it to him. Let him have it. Next verse. How many of y'all are glad you come to church and see things like, huh, this guy makes me think a little bit. Verse 41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, what the context of that was, understand that Israel was under Rome's rule, and the Roman roads were marked out with mile demarcations, and sometimes a Roman soldier would come and put a burden on you and expect you to carry his burden for 1 mile. You're doing his labor for him without pay, and you could not fight City Hall. And what does Jesus say? Go 2 miles. Oh, Lord. Lord. Verse 42. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Well, how many of y'all know if you practice that at face value, you're going to be broke, busted, flat in New Orleans. Right? Or in Palestine. So can we talk about this, church family? Can we talk? What did Jesus mean? You know, if we practice all of those at face value, we're going to be humiliated. We're going to be abused. We're going to be mistreated. We're going to be deceived. We're going to be taken of all of our possessions. Because it says, and to everyone that asks of you, you're supposed to give. Well, pretty soon you're going to find yourself broke. What was Jesus talking about here? Understand that Jesus often spoke in figures of speech. Here, he is speaking in a figure of speech called hyperbole. Hyperbole is a conscious exaggeration to drive home a point. Jesus was deliberately exaggerating some of what he said to drive home a point, and the point was this: do not resist evil. Remember, he began this whole dissertation with, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if someone does you wrong, all Jesus is saying is, don't strike back. That's all he's saying. Right? That if someone flips you off when you're driving down the, 51, then you're not supposed to what? You're supposed to keep your hand on the steering wheel, right? If someone cuts you off, you're supposed to, I know, that's road rage. You're supposed to wave and say, God bless you. All Jesus is saying is, don't repay evil for evil. Okay? And it's important that we realize that that is the main point. Otherwise, we're going to get into some legalistic, man-made oppressive rules that Jesus never intended for us to live under. Jesus did not intend for all of us to have our dignity continually smacked down and our pride. You know, we all should have a healthy sense of pride. And our pride, you know, we have that song, They Shall Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And it has one line that we should guard every man's dignity and save every man's pride. Well, in that sense, we're not supposed to walk around as doormats for everybody, right? So then, that's what we have to keep in mind, because, listen carefully, I'm going to kind of shift a little bit. Who's ever heard the saying, good fences make good what? Neighbors. Good fences make good neighbors. It is a healthy practice, church family, to have boundaries and not let every Tom, Dick, or Harry come have their way with you. Right? I've seen it happen. I think anybody who's walked with Jesus long enough has seen people try to manipulate, people try to use you, people try to abuse you, people try to take advantage of you. Can I, by a show of hands, would you raise your hand if you've seen that? I've seen that. I've had that happen to me. You know, now it's like swiper, no swiping. How many of y'all watch Dora the Explorer? If you have grandkids, you swiper, no swiping. We're not going to let people walk over us in the name of mercy. Now, that's one aspect of it. We'll continue talking about boundaries here shortly, but I've also met, who has also met people who were eaten up with mercy? Literally eaten up with mercy, to where they became prime targets of those who wanted to take advantage, of those who wanted to abuse, of those who wanted to misuse, of those who wanted to swindle money from them. Who has met a person that was eaten up with mercy? And they're always living, listen carefully, with this compassion fatigue. Because they're constantly letting other people sap their energy. Come on, somebody. Waste their time. Can we talk about that a little bit? How many of y'all know, listen, Listen, I've had people swindle me of money. I can earn money anytime, but I cannot earn back time. Time lost is time lost. Right? Time wasted is time lost. That's more valuable to me than money. What if there was a billionaire lying up on his deathbed? He's got all these billions of dollars, but he's terminal with cancer. Don't you think he would, in a heartbeat, change that money if he could? Transmute is the correct word. Look it up on Google. If he could transmute those billions of dollars into more time of his life. Time is more important than money. That's a valuable, valuable resource. But church family, we've got to protect time with boundaries, or otherwise some people will chew it up. Come on, somebody. Listen, I've discovered that people who don't value time will try to waste yours. Time is valuable. You know, I had a situation develop, since we're talking about time, recently at the gym. You know, it's funny. I wonder if the Lord allowed this to happen to see if I would be merciful, but at the same time, enforce boundaries. And that was one day I was on the treadmill, and I was, you know, I have my little towel, so I'm always prepared. I've got my glass of water. I've got my phone here in case I want to listen to some tunes while I'm, you know, running. And I've got my little towel to wipe myself off with. Well, I was nearing the end of a run, and I always finish strong. And there's this guy that's, you know, giving me the thumbs up, and I'm just like, thanks. You know, I understand, church family. I don't go to the gym to socialize. I don't chop it up with anybody there. I'm not there to make friends with anybody. I'm there to, you know, my time is valuable. I'm there to get things done and get out of Dodge, right? And so this guy, you know, came up a different day, and he handed me some paper towels because he saw that I was sweating profusely. Well, I had my towel there, but okay, thanks. And then he starts wanting to chat with me while I'm running, and he has no sweat on his shirt. So I finished, and I'm on my cool down, and he's not supposed to be standing on the next treadmill. It's social fitnessing. You guys know. You guys go. It's social fitnessing, and he's got his mask down, so he's encroaching on my time, and he's encroaching on my space. I told myself, he was from a religion that had cultic underpinnings, that was aggressive in trying to proselytize. So, okay, so I after that I said to myself, you know, I can't let him take up my time, because it sets me back on my schedule. I've got things to do, people to see, and I think that particular day I had a couple of people see in the hospital, so I was like, you know, I gotta. Well, he didn't care, you know, he was just talking. He was a talker, and so after that I decided I'm gonna ignore him. Because I'm not there to chop it up, right? I'm not there to chat it up with anybody. And so I'm running, and I'm that particular day, the next day, or the following time that he came up to me, I was doing intervals. So I was in my little, I was running on the treadmill about 7.5 or 8 miles an hour. If you don't think that's fast, get on a treadmill and try that. And I couldn't breathe, much less talk. I'm just barely, and he's like, hey, how's it going? You're hitting it hard, and blah, 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 blah. I said, I can't talk. That's all I could say. And he continues. I said, I can't talk. Oh, okay. He comes back after I'm running slower, and I said, I can't talk. Okay. He left me alone. Next day, comes back up. How's it going today? And I'm thinking, how many of y'all have ever had the old tongue rise up within your mouth, and just there's that juicy little bad word that you just are harnessing back in, reining it in, that it wants to come out like a bat out of Hades. Thank you. Those of you who didn't nod your head, you're lying. Thank you. And it was there. I mean, that word, I was like, you. And so I let him know that I couldn't talk. And so he didn't show up the following day after that. The day after that, I'm walking out of the locker room, which he had followed me into before. I'm like, this guy's a pest. And I'm walking to get, because I get the towel, I spray it with that cleansing thing to wipe down my treadmill before I run. I wipe it down after I'm finished. And he's like, hey, how are you? And I'm just ignoring, I didn't even look at him. He's like, hey, I want you to meet my wife. And that was it. He dragged his wife to the gym. And this guy's worse than a bad toothache. And I looked at him because I said, this guy's not getting my hints. Look, my words, I looked at him directly. I said, look, you and I are not friends. I don't want to be your friend, and I'm not here to socialize. Well, he walked off, you know, in a huff. Well, that's okay. From then on, I've had a peaceful workout. My time, everything's on time. Everything's working the way I need. How many of y'all see my point here?
Well, Joe, you're not being merciful.
Let me give him your phone number and tell him that you're interested in listening. And then we'll find out who's merciful. See my point, church family? Mercy doesn't say, just let him waste your time. Just let him have his way with you, because it's obvious to me that he's not there to do what I'm doing. He's there to try to connect with other people. And then a couple days after, I told him that we're not friends, and I don't want to be your friend. How many of y'all know that I can't get a little, that fiery Mexican banny rooster? Your husband will like that, honey. That he went to another lady, to a lady, and starts chatting her up. Well, she asked him to move two treadmills down because he was in the next standing, not running, in the next treadmill with his mask down. Well, he goes and he's just talking. And I thought, I should probably say something. I said, nah, she'll find out. And I was there the day she told him to leave her alone. You know, this is crazy, church family. People need to respect your boundaries. Can I get a witness? Now, listen, since we're on boundaries and good fences make good neighbors, boundaries are only effective as you are willing to enforce them. Amen? Yell at the kids when they were doing wrong, and she would threaten them with, don't do that or else, don't do that or else. Well, that went on for about a half hour. My ex-wife and I never threatened. We kept calm, and we just basically told the girls one time, if you continue doing this, you will be in timeout. You will get the spoon, a wooden spoon in their little pudgy bottoms, or we will revoke your privileges of a phone. We weren't mad. We didn't threaten. Our voices weren't raised. And sure enough, they would disobey. And okay, no, Mom, no, Dad. We wanted to make sure, listen, that our word was most important, not the tone or the decibel of our voice. We have to enforce and not threaten and just say, listen, you cross my boundaries once, then I'm gonna let you know. You know, that reminds me of when I was a kid. I got bullied. Who of you ever got bullied in school as a kid? Gene, I bet you would whoop their tush. Not at that time. Well, now they wouldn't mess with you, sir. But I had seen this guy that was bigger. He was a bully. Excuse me, that had gone to a kid that was not as strong or athletic, And he started shoving him. And I remember seeing what the kid did, that the kid that was being bullied, what he did, since the bully was shoving him, the kid that was being bullied stepped back, leaned over, and drew an imaginary line on the ground, the concrete of the little playground that we had in elementary school. And he stuck his finger in the bully's face and he said, "So help me, if you cross that line, I'm going to come after you." Well, apparently that stunned the bully, and that made him stop the shoving. And I thought, wow, I'm filing this in my little brain as one who was bullied, because I thought that's going to come in handy for me next time I'm bullied. Well, sure enough, the day came where I had this kid that was making fun of me, that was harassing me, all this and that. And he started talking about my mama in bad terms, and I said, that's it. I leaned over, I drew an imaginary line on the ground, I stuck my finger in his face, I said, "So help me," I had memorized the word, "So help me, if you say one more thing about my mom, I'm going to come after you." He said, "Oh yeah?" He looked at the line, he stepped over it. He said, "What are you going to do now, punk?" Well, I stepped back, I bent over, I drew another imaginary line, and I said, "So help me." He stepped over that one, I stepped back, I bent over, I drew another imaginary line. I didn't have the wherewithal to enforce my boundary. See, church family, are we like that guy that we make boundaries, but when the chips are down, we don't have the ability to say no more? Are you willing to block some people on Facebook? Are you willing to deactivate your account? Are you willing to block people on your phone? I've done it over the years because some people were just harassing me. But that's not loving, Pastor Joe. Give me your number. I'll give it to that guy at the gym. All right. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word that is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, help us to show mercy and be merciful, but help us to understand, Lord, that at any time we can say no to people, that we are not going to be at somebody's beck and call. Father, that we are your people and we will choose to be merciful because it is a choice. Father, not because we are forced to by somebody else's lack of boundaries, lack of respect for our time, lack of respect for our well-being, lack of respect for our dignity and our pride, Father. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.